Nick.
John.
Podcast.
Yeah, we do a podcast together.
Talk.
Okay, I am talking.
Language.
Yep. I am talking with language. Where are you going with
That's
this?
That's all I had. I was just gonna do that.
That was a very good bit.
Yeah.
And this is Stranger Still. Welcome to Stranger Still. It's the duh where we duh about duh.
Yeah.
That was caveman talk.
Yeah, this is back to our roots, fella.
Somewhere out there, a Neanderthal's like, I understood them.
I actually have a little anecdote to add to this we get to that point about Neanderthals. And it's pronounced Neanderthals, I found out too.
Oh, yeah.
Or Thals.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to talk about language today. This one actually came from... We're diving right in this week, aren't we? No dilly-dallying. This one came from our Facebook page. Came from Delia on our poll. She added it, and then everyone voted for it. And I was like, oh, God. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to research this. And I was really worried it was either going to be really hard to research or very straightforward and wouldn't cover half an hour. But as I got into it, stuff's super interesting, dude.
Well, I want you to feel inspired and hopeful that someday that poll is going to have thousands of people.
Yeah, someday.
And then there'll be thousands for you to have the pressure to disappoint.
So what I was originally going to say was that you corrected me on Neanderthal. Neanderthal?
Yeah.
And I used to be, like, really annoying about the way people talked. Like, I wasn't quite a grammar Nazi because I didn't know all the grammar rules and stuff. But, like, I was like, you're saying things stupid. And I'm not that way now. Except for when people say, I seen it, or they say a whole nother. Those are the two that really get on my nerves for some reason. I can't let those go.
Yeah.
But over the years, I've decided, and I think I've said this at least on this podcast, if not on my other podcast with my dad, that I've decided language is a means of communicating ideas. And as long as you know what I'm talking about, it shouldn't matter how I say it, right?
Yeah.
So unless quit it's correcting like... me on Neanderthal. John.
It's Neanderthal. But yeah, I totally agree with you, but you're wrong.
That's fair. I am wrong. So, I mean, it's not as clear cut as that because, like, there are, like, anyway, you get my point, right?
Well, then we start getting into words with double meanings.
Like double meanings or cultural importance or stuff like that. So whatever. John?
Yes.
Let's start this episode off with a little quiz. We're doing things backwards this time.
Okay. Whoa. Wow. Throwing off.
I know. How many languages, what do you think the most popular language is in the world?
You know, what do I think the most popular one is?
Yeah, it's spoken by the most people.
Man.
It's like super easy.
Chinese?
Chinese. It's spoken by 1.2 billion people. It's Mandarin Chinese. Now, John, I want to know how many languages you think there are. Now, before you answer that, I want to let you know that there are between 193 and 197 countries. And I say between because there's like some countries that the UN doesn't recognize and some of them are like considered observer states. It's like a whole thing that doesn't mean anything for this episode, so I didn't look into it, but I was curious. So how many languages are there, John?
I'm going to make like 6,000.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I'm going to double down.
For 100,
down.
For 197 about 200 countries.
Yeah, I'm going to say 6,000.
So I've heard a lot of numbers.
Yeah. This dude's like, I'm trying to throw you off. Yeah. Let's get close.
Well, okay. So the truth is, it depends on who you ask. Because in some quote-unquote languages are so, from the same area, are so distinct from one another. Some people classify them as their own languages. That's why China has like 7 different languages.
Yeah.
Some languages are quote-unquote dead or spoken by less than 1,000 people. So the number is somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000.
Look at this astute gentleman right here.
Look at you.
Can you see my brain flexing?
Yeah, it's painful to look at.
Yeah,
it looks like it hurts.
Yeah, I'm doing reps right now.
I've seen numbers as high as 7,111, which is like, I think someone was just like, I'm going to make up a number that's very exact so it sounds official. You know what I mean? When people do that.
I know me.
What?
It's language.
Oh, I was
meant I knew what you meant.
Oh, okay. So anyway, the point is it all depends on who you ask. So
should I use a hyper-evolved language in this episode that is ultra-modern to entice the millennial listeners to feel involved into the learning process?
Yeah, millennials like
process?
Feeling smart, so okay. Start speaking with bigger words,
you
please.
Got it, bae.
Okay.
This episode's going to be lit.
Not where I thought you were going.
It's going to be lit AF.
Okay. So by the end of this, I mean, the thing that I wanted to know was, why do we have so many languages? And the thing that Delia wanted to know was,
what's the dealio with?
How did language evolve is what she wanted to know. So I got a little bit of both. They go hand in hand. So by the end of this episode, you're going to know why there's so many languages and where it came from.
Oh, they hold hands, all of them?
Yeah, all the languages hold hands.
Except for Latin.
Except for Latin. The redheaded... I shouldn't say that. That sounds offensive. That seems like an offensive thing to say.
Mm.
The redheaded stepchild?
You just evolved.
I am not going to say that because that seems very mean. Anyway.
Yeah, it's the Latin of languages. How about that?
That's much better. So when you go back in time, people have been interested in languages and where it came from since ancient times. I came across one article from Discovery Magazine that was like, since the days of Darwin, people have wondered where language came from, but it's been...
You think
people
Darwin's uncle didn't want to know what the sun was called?
Like, way before that, people wondered where language came from.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 664 and 610 BCE, the pharaoh Semasticus I ran the first documented language experiment.
Hmm, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though.
Yeah.
I was recently listening to, I could say a friend of the show, Stuff You Should Know.
Yeah.
Rhymes.
Yeah.
They were talking about Neanderthals recently.
Yeah.
And they found that, they were comparing humans, or I'm sorry, sapiens and Neanderthals.
Humans?
Sapiens.
Homo sapiens and Homo erectus. Yeah.
Right. Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
We knew had like some form of language.
Yeah.
And, Neanderthals were known as these big brutish grunts that like they like made noises and yeah. Turns out that's all false.
Yeah.
The model that was based off of like how like big and bulky and like hunched over they were was just some guy that had like a bone disease.
Yeah.
So they actually stood pretty upright, and they had evolved language that actually is still found in languages today. We just don't have a way to find out the roots. So if they had a name for the sun, not only humans, but a subspecies of human, the Neanderthal, created their own words that we still use as humans today.
Yeah. So we're going to get to that in a little bit. That comes down to like phonemes. And one of the big questions that came up in my research a lot is, was there one central language in the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get there. There might have been. We don't know. And we'll never know unless we like invent time travel. But anyway, back to Semasticus I, which I'm probably saying wrong. He wanted to figure out if language was innate or learned. So are you born with language? And if so, is it a central language like I mentioned before? Or did you have to learn it from people? So he ordered two babies to be raised in isolation by a shepherd. And the shepherd was ordered not to speak. He wasn't allowed to speak. However, at the age of two, the kids began saying the word bekos a lot, which is the...
It was a treat. It was like a bacon flavored hot pocket. And they were really hungry kids.
Right. No, it's the Phrygian word for bread, which is an Indo-European language. So Semasticus I believed that it was that Phrygian is the innate language and it's not learned. Yeah. You're just born with language. So my next question to you, John, I want to know.
You want to know if Semasticus was attractive and if some people asked Semasticus if they could kiss him. Semasced to kiss.
Come on, man. You can do better
some
than
asked
that.
To kiss.
I get it. You don't have to keep saying it.
Some asked to kiss.
Okay. I like it. So my next question to you is, why do we have so many languages? Tell me, John.
Because we're tribal little folks.
That's a dumb answer. So again, this all depends on who you ask. Have you heard of the Tower of Babel?
Yeah.
Or the Babel fish from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
I've heard of both.
Or the website Babelfish that's now owned by Yahoo.
Yeah, or babelsonly.com. I don't even know what you're dating if you go there, but yeah.
So the Tower of Babel comes from the story in the Bible in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. You may remember that there was this great flood that wiped out everything on earth except everything that was on the special little ark. And once the flood went away, the boat landed and the people on it started to repopulate the earth in the city of Babylon. And since they all lived in this one city, like generations and generations later, they had no intention of spreading. They all spoke the same language. And since they all spoke the same language, they could work so well together. So they started to build this tower, this huge tower or stairway that was going to reach up to heaven so that they could get to God.
I don't like this story.
Stick with me. It gets worse.
I know.
So God was like, look, homies, I told you in two chapters ago to, quote, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And this is the opposite of that. You're all sitting in one city, not taking over my earth and destroying it. I would prefer that over what you're doing right now.
Oh, we're killing it now.
So he,
in more than one way.
What he did to prevent them from getting to heaven was cast a magic spell or something. I don't know. He just went boogity boogity. And the people in Babel started speaking many, many, many different languages. Mm-hmm. And since they could no longer communicate to each other, the people that spoke the same language would go build their own city. And then they started spread across the earth.
That's horrible.
That's why we have so many languages. John, did you know that?
Yeah, I did hear that story.
I hear skepticism in your voice.
I don't know. It sounds like male... it sounds like fragile masculinity to me. That tower is too big.
How do you know that God's
not
a woman?
I'm going to make y'all a list. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. So luckily we know that story is mostly false because we've been to the moon and God wasn't like, oh crap, they're building a rocket. I better make them speak different languages. But also because we have this little thing with us on our side called science. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of it? Some Christians haven't.
Well...
That was offensive. I'm sorry. Yeah. Evangelical Christians haven't heard of it.
Sure, yeah, as long as you pinpoint them.
Yeah, I got to be specific here. I do want to make a point because, like, I had this really good pastor that was like, who here believes that everything in the Bible is true? And, like, no one raised their hands. Like, of course. Because, like, in the first chapter of the book, they say that the sky is filled with water. And we know that's not true. That's ridiculous. They say it's a big dome of water. And it's not. So you can't trust everything that's in the Bible. And that pastor was really cool. So I want to point to evangelicals to say that they're dumb. Is that fair?
I guess so. I'm going to stay out of this one.
Why? I know how you feel about evangelicals. All of this is getting edited out.
Okay, good.
It's not. I'm leaving it in.
Oh, damn it.
Should I?
I don't know. Yeah, no, leave it in. They had it coming.
Anyway, why
do we actually speak different languages, Nicholas?
Yeah, let me get there. So if you remember from your evangelical teachings, the earth is only 6,000 years. But as you and I know, that is the earth is 4.5 billion years old, and then something like 575 million years ago, creatures started to pop up on the earth. At first, they were microorganisms, and then they started to evolve and change. And then eventually, they turned into what you and I might call animals. You may have heard of them.
I've
seen cats and birds and stuff.
Some of those live in my house.
So believe it or not, animals do have the ability to communicate, or speak, if you will, but not like you and I would speak. For instance, cats will meow at you if they want you to, like, fill up their food bowl, or birds will chirp at each other for mating purposes, or cats will hiss at you to tell you to go away. So they have different modes of communicating.
Yeah, that's one of the first times I was ever disappointed in nature when I was a kid.
Because you saw, like, all these animated movies and all these animals talking, and then...
No. I found out that birds are just like, get away, get away, this is mine, this is mine, go.
Or, inversely, do me, do me.
Look at my sexy feathers.
That needs to be taken out of context somewhere. Yeah. But then, like, you get to apes, they have certain grunts and hand gestures to convey ideas. So when the first human ancestors came along, the Homo erectus showed up, they brought with them a lot of these grunts. Since we have a common ancestor. And there's this guy, I was watching a TED talk on YouTube from this guy named Dan Everett. And he talked about how 2 million years ago, Homo erectus traveled around like Indonesia and Yemen and Greece and all over the world. And they knew how to build boats. They knew how to build like small villages and plan out farming and stuff. And you wouldn't really be able to plan something like that without a mode to communicate.
Yeah, and be able to build that.
Right.
Also, they built up confidence. They used to tell each other they had good haircuts.
Yeah, I like your beard today.
Mm, thanks.
Can you try something new?
Just polish it with some grease.
Yeah. So, but he points out. The problem was with Homo erectus was their voice box, their larynx. It wasn't capable of making more than just a couple sounds. So it was probably grunt-ish, but it was very similar to like the modern day vocal cords of a gorilla, of what we would see there today. So gorillas can communicate with different grunts, so they're probably very similar to that. He makes a lot of really good points in this TED Talk, and I definitely recommend watching it because he goes a lot deeper into this.
To me, it sounds like it becomes like more like binary, where it's just like
exactly
almost
what
like
he points
Morse
out.
Code.
He yeah. says computers, we can type like infinite characters, like not infinite, but hundreds of characters, but the computer speaks in two sounds, ones and zeros.
On or
and,
off. Yeah,
on or off. And back in the day, Homo erectus only needed two sounds to communicate.
Yeah. So whenever you fall into a lake, you just go, oh, 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 oh,
yeah.
Oh, 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 oh,
yeah.
That was
it's
SOS.
Like Morse code, right?
Thank you.
So he points out for these people to be able to build boats to travel to islands they could and couldn't see, the fact that they traveled to places that they couldn't see required a certain amount of imagination, and then you'd have to convince your pal, like, hey, I know we don't see anything, but let's just go out there, see what's out there, paint the town red. He also pointed out that with the villages, they had some sort of ability to plan things out. And so obviously they had some sort of means of communication, albeit it wasn't very robust. But I imagine that's not what our listeners came here to find out. They want to know where modern language came from. So we, as Homo sapiens, in the year 2019, can build a village, but we can also plan cities. We can run, quote-unquote, run governments. We can collaborate on things.
We have entire societies that are only digital with people that never met.
Yeah, exactly. We can collaborate across seas. We can build art together, like hundreds of people working on films. We wouldn't be able to do, we can go out to space. We wouldn't be able to do this kind of stuff if we didn't have a robust language. Just think of how hard it would be to get to the moon speaking. We need to be able to communicate complex ideas. So this is where phonemes come from. Do you know what a phoneme is?
Phoneme. No, I do not, Nicholas.
I was hoping you'd make like a meme joke because it's like phoneme, meme, but I'll leave that to the experts. So it's just the sounds that make up a word.
My
so,
writing team's working on it.
Yeah, but they'll give you a piece of paper in a little bit with the punchline on it. So Dan Everett mentioned that there are... Let me back up. Phonemes are like f or k or. Like the sounds that build a word that eventually make a sentence. So he pointed out that there are groups of people all over the world, like in the Amazon, that only speak... Their language is made up of 11 phonemes. But English has about 45. There are also, we'll get to this a little bit later, but in Africa, there's languages with more than 100 phonemes.
Yeah.
So when we make things like Siri or Alexa, what they're doing is recording all of these phonemes and then telling the program to pick and choose which phoneme will make up the word.
We made a stupid video about
that. We did make a stupid video about that, but that's how it's done. They deconstruct the language into phonemes. They record them, mm-hmm. make the program say them. So when you get to this point, the evolution of language starts to get a little bit more complex, and there's a lot of different theories of how we evolved to get the modern language. So the two main theories are simply that either language evolved as a direct result of natural selection, or it was a byproduct of other things that happened during natural selection.
Yeah, there was this poor fella who just didn't know how to say fire extinguisher.
Yeah,
natural selection took its course.
Prehistoric Frank will miss
you. It's the tube thing with the it's red. It's made of a steel alloy. Oh man,
it's got chemicals inside of it.
I don't know. It's really hot in here. Yeah.
So when I say that language may have evolved as a direct result of evolution or natural selection, I mean that our way of becoming Homo sapiens, natural selection, found that people who could talk and communicate more effectively or complex survived more easily. Therefore, evolution was more likely to pass along the genetics of someone who could talk in a complex way. There's a couple researchers, Steven Pinker and Paul Bloom, who wrote a paper called Natural Language and Natural Selection that goes into this. And I kind of got a watered down version of their idea from How Stuff Works, friends of the show. and I adapted a little bit because their example was with a deer, but I figured you'd like this example a little bit more. So imagine back in the day, our early ancestors see a pizza out there in its natural habitat.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah.
A brick oven.
A brick oven pizza out there in its natural habitat. And they communicate to their fellow hunters, look, there's a pizza out there.
Right.
With like simple, and points, you know, yeah. And point to the pizza. And then a storm comes in. All of a sudden, it just starts pouring down, and their pizza gets soggy.
Oh, no.
And they're like, I'm not eating soggy pizza, so they go hungry, and they just don't eat it. In the real example, the deer gets scared off, and they can't hunt it and kill it and eat it.
Yeah, no, like, no, I got you.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the pizza's like, oh, forget about it. It's raining. I better get back. Go back to my brick oven cave.
Yeah. It's hot in here. What the hell?
Yeah, come on.
So some early men are going to die because of this, because they didn't get the pizza while the pizza was good.
Yeah.
So over time, they begin to notice this pattern. They begin to see clouds rolling in, mm-hmm. the temperature changes, whatever. And they notice that when a storm comes in, it makes their pizza all soggy. So they put this all together. They notice the patterns. And they find a way to effectively communicate to their fellow hunters, hey, we have to get that pizza before it gets soggy. So as at first, they could only communicate with grunts, but they had to build more complex thing to say. Like, at first, it would just be like, ooga pizza, ooga rain. And their fellow hunters would be like, ooga duh.
Yeah. And the other would be like, watch your Ugan language.
Yeah. And then...
I have some Ugan kids over here. They don't need you to Ugan mess up their Ugan minds.
And then as it became more complex, he'd be like, pizza rain soggy, Uga. And they'd be like, yeah, we know. Yes, it is soggy. And then he'd be like, look, Uga, the storm makes the Uga pizza soggy. We have to get Uga pizza now before it Uga gets soggy and we can eat it. So that's their idea.
All right.
That's their exact words from their dissertation.
Yeah, it was carved into a cave.
Yeah. There are other researchers out there like Noam Chomsky or Stephen Jay Gould who think that it was a byproduct of other evolutionary steps. Their idea is that our way of becoming Homo sapiens, we came across other developments like a bigger brain or more developed larynx that wasn't meant to give us language, but was the byproduct of something else that eventually gave us language. So the example that they give is that birds evolved feathers to keep them warm at first. Only later were the feathers used for flight. So we had like flightless birds or dinosaurs that evolved these feathers to stay warm, and that eventually those feathers helped them fly. See what I mean here?
Yeah. Feathers, the same way that there. Humans have hands, and it's not to play the Harry Potter game, but it's a byproduct of
exactly.
having hands.
That's a very good example. I'll let it slide. So their theory says that there is no way, there's no grounding in natural selection that would select a more robust language as a need for survival. But instead, as our brain structures became more complex, speech came with it, let the larynx evolve to allow more than just a couple grunts, and yep. now we have language.
And before we get too far ahead, go watch some Noam Chomsky videos. He's a pretty interesting guy.
I think I might have said this on a bonus episode or something, but yeah. every time I see a picture of Noam Chomsky, I immediately think it's a picture of Miss Doubtfire. And I mean that in the nicest way.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. Yeah, I agree. I could see it. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
He also, he comes up a lot in progressive politics, especially yeah. if you start getting into social democracy.
Yeah.
And like Marxism and all that.
Yeah. But I think Dan Everett sort of laid that out that this was possible in his talk because he said that they were able to spread out to the stretches of the earth with only a couple grunts. So they didn't need language. I don't think he landed specifically on either side in his talk. And honestly, I'm not sure where I land on this either, because I can certainly see the angle of hunting and surviving would certainly be a lot easier if yeah. you could communicate complex ideas. But like Dan Everett pointed out, they were able to build cities and boats and stuff, and
probably would have gotten
around
it. I
can't even build a boat.
Yeah.
So per usual, I'm willing to bet it's a mixture of the two. These people just need to come together, hug it out.
Is there a big feud between them?
I don't know. Every time I do this research, I've said this so many times, it feels so polarized. Like, it feels... In reading, what was their names?
Did they call each other out and say, like, this
they did.
Idiot?
So in Steven Pinker and Paul Bloom's article, they talk about other researchers like Gold say blah, 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 but that's simply not true and stuff like that. So it feels so polarized, and like they hate each other.
Sometimes there's a good polarization. Like,
yeah.
That episode about the Neanderthals, mm-hmm. there was so much research that's dismissive of them because they want the humans to be the superior race
yeah.
of people. And that's yeah, where you can throw out the other garbage. Cause...
Yeah, we don't want cavemen to seem intelligent because we're the superior being.
Right. So that's the kind of thing where you yeah. have to be like, oh, they're ulterior motives. But in this case, it sounds like, all right, look.
Yeah. Lay down your pitchforks and yeah. let's just kind of hug it out.
Let's just have a slice of pizza together. Soggy pizza.
So, John, that doesn't, that still doesn't answer why we have upwards of 3,000 languages.
Yeah, what are we up to, three?
Yeah.
What are we at, 2000 BC? Where are we? Come on.
About 6,000 years ago, probably, the cradle of civilization. So going back to that, now do you have any guess as to why we have so many languages?
We did expand out.
And we did had expand to out, but that
create
was...
create new words for new things we saw.
That's exactly it, John.
Yeah.
Did you like research this?
No, I'm just very. I drank this really good Soylent drink today,
and your brain's just firing.
My brainwaves are working.
So that's kind of where it came from. So the Homo erectus, we're speaking in grunts. We're not so much speaking in grunts anymore. We started to evolve a complex language, and there are people out there charting language trees that are like family trees, but with languages. So they say like Upper German or Lower German, or like they're trying to bring it all back to see if they all come back to one central language. Mm-hmm. And if you follow that theory, this is where you get stories like the Babylonians. I mean, the early stages of the Bible are just a means of explaining things that were unexplainable at the time. And
we still do that.
I know. Like, I don't think that story is completely wild because we still don't know why we have so many languages.
Yeah,
so, anyway.
It's because Mercury is in retrograde, Nick.
Mercury is in Gatorade or some stuff. So yeah, that's the question that comes up a lot is, did we speak one language? And it's certainly possible, because one theory out there is that we spoke a similar language, probably started in Africa or near Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization, and they either had a certain set of grunts or words for all of the things that they encountered there, like certain trees or rivers or elephants or whatever animals were there at the time. Heat, it's near mm-hmm. the equator, so heat certainly probably came up a lot. But as civilization spread out from there, they had those words, but then they went to Russia or down south to southern Africa or where Europe is now, and they encounter new things like snow.
This is a dog with a trunk.
Yeah,
this is a dog with spots that runs pretty quick.
Yeah, so they had to come up with new words to explain all of the new things that they were seeing that the people back in the cradle of civilization were never going to be exposed to. But that language is still evolving, and as that language evolved, they apparently just got more complex. I'll get to that in a second. But as they moved further away, they started to lose the roots of the original words that they had from the cradle of civilization and developed their own language. Does that make sense? Am I making any amount of sense here?
Yeah, I keep thinking back to the word soul turned into solar.
Right.
It's going back to your roots that way.
That's exactly. I mean, let's follow an example here. So let's go with dog or something.
Okay.
So in Africa, they maybe had the word dog, and then they spread out to, like, I don't know, the Middle East ish area. I mean, anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And
Southeast Asia.
And then they encountered a smaller dog, so they call it a puppy. I don't know. This isn't a good example,
Papito.
But run with me. Papito. They call it Papito.
Yeah.
And then they go out to China and they see a hairy dog and a small hairy dog, so they call it
Nick.
Pupperito. Yeah.
Have you ever seen a dog?
Yeah, they're a hairy dog. I mean, like a shaggy hairy dog, okay. Not like a short haired dog,
dogs,
and like a long haired dog.
Yeah, most of them have that. So
most of them, okay. Is what I'm saying.
All right. Yeah. No, that's you defended yourself with dignity. So
then they give it a new name like Pupperino. And then eventually they don't use the word puppy anymore, or dog. They don't use the word dog anymore. They only use Pupperito. So eventually, over years and years, thousands of years, it becomes its own language. Because that happens with every word.
Yeah.
And there's evidence to back this up, which is the craziest thing. There's this biologist by the name of Quentin Atkinson who looked at 500 different languages across the globe. And he specifically looked at how many phonemes were in each language. And he found that languages in Africa, a lot of the time, had more than 100 phonemes. But the farther you moved out, the farther you moved away from Africa, the less phonemes the languages had. So, for instance, in Papua New Guinea or New Zealand, the native language there only had 13 phonemes. Or as I talked about before, in Amazon in South Africa has a language with 11 phonemes. Somewhere in the middle, like England, where English came from, has 45 phonemes. So you see how this starts to chart out over 500 languages. So I guess the idea here is, in Africa, like I said, their language kept evolving. And these are like the languages with like the clicks and stuff.
Yeah.
That's
those
just
the using the full capability of what our mouths can do.
Exactly. And then as they moved outward, they didn't need all those anymore, and they just lost them. And that's also why, like, people from Japan have trouble saying L's, because they don't have a phoneme for L in their language. Mm-hmm. Or in Spanish, they have a hard time saying Z's because there's not a Z in the Spanish language. Stuff like that. Or English, some English speakers have trouble rolling their R's.
Because
we just don't have, that's not part of the language. It's not a phoneme to roll our R's. So that's where we get so many different languages.
I wish you would have told my Spanish teacher that.
Why?
Because they weren't having it. They're like, everyone could do this. Just
no. There's a certain point. I was going to save this for after the break to go on this rant, but there is a certain point in developmental education that you just no longer can say certain sounds. Like, right. As a baby, you can say every sound that is possible, but at a certain point, you just can't like make those noises because your mouth never learned how to make those.
Yeah.
That's just how language works.
That's why they want to teach more languages in younger grades.
Absolutely. Like, I have Josh, we've had him on the show. He teaches English in Hong Kong. They teach English at like age 2.
That's so sick.
It's crazy. I can't imagine, like, I mean, it can be done, but trying to teach my daughter another language when she's learning English at the same time seems like a lot, but it's good. That's a good thing to do.
It seems like a lot to our adult brain, though.
Yeah.
For a kid, they're like...
Exactly. As a kid, like, it's just, that's how it is.
Yeah.
But as an adult, you're like, oh my God, another language? Oh no. So, yeah. Did I make any sense there?
That's a couple.
A couple cents?
Yeah.
That's all I have for the evolution of language.
What do you think is the most evolved word, Nicholas? There's no way to know. There's no right. Anything you say is going to sound smart.
Yeah.
I'm setting you up for a slam dunk, fella. Just spit something out. Sun?
Stereo.
Wow. Yeah, we used to call those something different. Nick,
yeah,
and it
we
evolved.
Used to call them Rios.
There's a lot here to work with.
That's why there's the city of Rio. So.
Wow. Another lie.
If ever an episode has needed a recap, I think this is the one. Do you want to give us a recap, John?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a recap.
Okay. I'm serious, man.
I was gonna evolve my language as I did it.
Oh, okay.
As a symbol.
Okay, keep going.
See, I evolved.
We're gonna be here for another half
hold
hour
on.
Okay.
Language. Okay, hold on. And then we came up with other words as we spread out to try to explain different things that we saw.
Did you wait till I took a drink to start that?
No, that's probably the speed that it happened real time, Nick.
Not over thousands of years, just okay. I'm with you.
It's a condensed version.
Yeah,
we don't got thousands of years because you got to go to patreon.com.
No, we got to save that for after the
nobody listens after
break.
Nick,
I don't care.
I want
they're
them
listening
to buy
to now.
Us now.
Here's a teaser. John's gonna plug our Patreon after the break.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
Plug that Patreon.
Patreon.com/flyingmachine.
Yeah. Here's the thing, people. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, but next month is going to be very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So just get in early. Go to patreon.com/flyingmachine. Kick us a few bucks, and you're in for a few surprises next month. I think that's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, I think that's all you're evolved enough to say.
Yeah. I haven't figured out the words yet to tell you what's going on in July.
The vast, like, the... Oh, sparkly. Big.
Yeah.
Big sparkly.
Beautiful. Most beautiful... Big sparkles.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Bonuses.
I think Trump needs to evolve a little bit. Have I dunked on enough people this episode yet?
He's one you could dunk on until he's stuck in the hoop. What else we got going on here?
You should leave us a review on iTunes. I really mean it.
Yeah.
We've been stuck at 70, and I want to hear what you guys think, good
it's
or bad.
It's only one away from a very funny number. I want to get to the next funny number.
Yeah.
Okay?
We got to get to the next funny number.
And then after
so do
that,
it.
Let's just get to 1,000.
We got to get to 69.
Oh, boy. What a goal.
I know. It's the sexiest number. So, I don't have much else to say after the break, but I did want to talk about one thing, which is when I was in college, in my psychology class, they brought up that experiment with photographic memory. Have you seen this thing? It was like ancient black and white film, silent film of this experiment they did with humans and monkeys. And they had like numbers flash up on a screen for a split second, and then they had to touch on the screen where the numbers were. They did it with humans, and they could get like 4 or 3, and after that they couldn't figure it out, but monkeys could get like all of them.
No, but that's disappointing, and I bet you cats would be awesome at it, because their attention span's like twice as long as ours.
Yeah. Well, the point of that, maybe we've addressed this before, but the point of that experiment was at least what I was told at the time in college, was that humans gave up photographic memory in lieu of speech.
Mm.
Like, we can speak, but we had to give something else up in our brain, and we gave up photographic memory, which is BS.
Yeah.
I tried corroborating that last night, and nothing came up. The only thing that came up is, like, there's no such thing as photographic memory. We talked about memory in animals before.
Yeah.
Like, they have episodic memory. Well, some animals have episodic memory. Some of them have different types of memory. It's just, what did evolution gift that species in terms of memory? It all has to come down to brain composition. So we didn't give up photographic memory.
We're able to do both. It just wasn't important to us to survive.
Yeah. So that's all I had to squash. I was going to go on a rant about phonemes in different languages and how it's hard to say other phonemes, but I already went through that. So
what's your foe's name?
My foe's name?
Yeah. Thanos?
No, Adrian Toomes.
Hmm. I think my foe's name is Goop, maybe.
I was going for Vulture from Spider-Man.
I know, you're obsessed. Listen to our bonus episode for July.
Oh, that's the perfect plug. Crap, we should have put that. No one's listening anymore.
I know.
Our bonus episode for July, I talked to my nephew about
Spider-Man.
You
know what sucks about saying that, Nick?
Yeah.
100% of people that hear you say no one's listening anymore heard that.
Well, if you're listening out there, email us at podcast@strangersstillshow.com. And that certainly brings us to the fact that I'm still Nick.
And I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.